We worship you. We worship you. Thank you. We honor you. Praise you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. All right. Good morning. All right. Please say good morning to someone beside you as you take your seat. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So, for those of you that were, you know, around on Wednesday, I mentioned that there are like three streams I'll be flowing into as I teach this morning. So let's get into it all and then we'll get it. But on Wednesday, we began talking about something quite important to the believer, to the church of Jesus Christ. As foundational as what we shared was, it's pivotal. It is foundational, so as foundational as what it is. The issue most times is that most of these things we refer to as foundational, we seem to treat them as less important. What I mean is this. So we taught spiritual body. Some might be like, that's foundational school stuff. So if you get what I'm trying to say now. So it's foundational, but we treat it like it's for babies. All right? So maybe when you talk about the new creation, some will be like, that's not what the church needs now. We don't need it. But it's the absence of that revelation that is causing confusion. All right? It's the absence of it. So we find all of us being born again, but not acting like the new creation that we are. You know, for most people, new creation teaching is just, you know, those university rev that you were sharing when you were on campus. You know, now you've left campus. You know, so you have people that just feel now is after school is not useful anymore. But and that's wrong. You know, someone invited me to preach somewhere, you know, sometime back. Ben said, Pastor X, what you taught like how many years ago is what you're still teaching. And that's why I'm inviting you. You're consistent. So some of your friends have become motivational speakers. You know, I didn't say that to say anything disparagingly. I'm saying that because, you know, even my generation was hit by that. You know, so we now have people who taught certain things, now refer to those things as though that's foundation. No, it's not. It is foundation. Do you understand the two foundations I'm using now? Foundation means is the building rests on it. We shouldn't treat it like that's what you give them when they enter the door. After they pass through the door, they don't need it. And that's, you know, so we need to correct that. We need to correct it. So I will do more of this Wednesday again, but there's a need to talk about it today and still weave it into certain things that need to be said. All right, glory to God. So on Wednesday, we learned that man is how many parts? All right, number one. Spirit and soul and body. I mean, like, yeah, very important. Three. Man is spirit and then what? Soul and what? Body, all right? So, and then we could compartmentalize man into two, the outer man and then what? All right, inward man. And or we say the hidden man of the heart. So we have the outer man, the inner man. All right, the outer man is clearly what? Body. The inner man is what? Your spirit together with the soul. But we read Luke 16. I think we need to read Luke 16 for the benefit of someone here this morning. In Luke 16, we find Jesus talking about the story, if we could call it that. It was not a parable, of Lazarus and the rich man. And please remember that I said that when you come to church, you have come to church, you have come to school on Sunday morning, and I would appreciate if, you know, we handle it as such. School on Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So in Luke 16 from verse 19, Luke 16:19, Bible says there was a certain rich man. And I said, when you find the word certain, it's not a parable. It actually happened. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate. So certain rich man, certain beggar, right? Lazarus was full of sores. 21 says, and Lazarus was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, 22, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. Please say with me, two people died. Two people died. All right, so we're told that Lazarus died and was carried by angels. So what part of Lazarus was carried? You know, because if you read here, you know, Lazarus died and was carried by angels. The rich man died and was buried. It almost looked like they carried Lazarus bodily. All right? No, he wasn't carried bodily, but he just needed to let us see that he has... The death of a righteous man is beautiful. How he may die might not show the beauty, but his death is precious. So Lazarus died a righteous man, and he had heavenly escort. As poor as he was on earth, he had escort. Bible said they carried him. So any believer that passes on has escort. Isn't that wonderful? So while the people around you may be crying, they miss you, it hurts them, there's escort. But the unbeliever dies, he's buried. If he would have any escort at all, I'm sure it's demons. Come on now. Isn't it beautiful to know that you're in Christ? Yeah? In Christ alone. Escorts. Let me stay there for a few seconds. Isn't it good to know that if any believer dies, yes, he might have been in the hospital, at the roadside, yes, maybe conditions in the natural that should not happen, he will still be carried. He will still, you know, if it was a rich guy that died and the angels carried him, you would say that angels respect rich people. Lazarus was not just poor. He didn't have food. He had sores all over his body. Dogs were coming to lick him, and he was still alive, wasn't dead. And God will still honor that kind of man in death and send escorts to pick him up. That's beautiful. Let me take it a step further. If you have escort in death, you have escort while alive. For he will give his angels charge over you. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So the escorts are not just when you are dead. The escorts are around every day. I mean, the escorts are beside you right now. Yes, right now. Yes, so if you hear go outside, your escorts are still there. They don't fear, they don't run. Think on that. Because, we'll read. Thank you, Lord. So it came to pass, rich man died and, okay, was buried. All right, 23. And in hell, he, that's the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send who? Lazarus. That he may dip the tip of his finger into water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented and inflamed. Excuse me, dip the tip of what? Finger. And cool what? The rich man has tongue, but where is his body? Buried. Where is he? In hell. And he has what? Tongue. So do you know what your spirit looks like? The spirit is not formless, shapeless. The spirit looks like you. Because your body took the shape of your spirit. In Genesis 1, God said, let us make man. In our image. So there's a man after the body. When the body is buried, there's still man. Because man is spirit. He now lives inside a body. That man, that is spirit, is in the image of God. Does God have tongue? You're not sure? Does he talk? Who originated words, God or man? Does God have eyes? Does he have hand? Does he have leg? So God is spirit. John 4 tells us that. God is spirit and they that worship him. All right? So God is a spirit. They that worship him, worship him spirit and truth. So but does God have a soul? Everybody gets quiet there. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve someone that doesn't have emotions. God made man like himself. God is a spirit that has a soul. Can God feel? He inhabits the praise. That means he enjoys something. So he has joy. It can be expressed. So God has feelings. He said in the Old Testament, they vexed me. That means he could feel it. So God is spirit. He has emotions. He enjoys worship. He hates evil. Yes or no? Then that means he can feel. Can feel. So the issue is you think, oh, so he feels. He's three-dimensional. No, he created this world. Didn't the Bible say God is jealous? That means he has a side that is emotional. But please, emotional is not... What happened to you? I'm emotional. No. What's jealousy? Is it an emotion? Is it a feeling that can be expressed? Yes or no? So God is a spirit that has a soul. Or how do we explain that? Isn't it emotion? Isn't it a soul? Who made man? He made man to look like who? So when you see man, he looks like somebody. So man reflects the person who made man. God. Question, God created man for what? We usually say fellowship, but you know, if you want to use it from Revelations, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things are for thy. For him to want to have pleasure, he has a soul. He has a side that can have feelings. So he enjoys it when you sing. He enjoys it when you pray. He enjoys it when you walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please. God can be pleased. See, he has that side. He made man, so you look like him. He made man in his image, after his likeness. God made all things and said, this is good. Good is an expression. So God is not a spirit that doesn't have feeling. You poke him, he can't move. You laugh, he can't laugh. Psalm chapter 2 says, he that sits in heaven. Ha, 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 ha. So God has expressions. Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven when one person gets born again. So heaven is expressive. So God is not your, God will worship you. God, we bless you. God smile now. That's why you find them, Isaiah, saying that you have gods that can't talk. Our own can't talk. He can express himself. Say, I look like God. But once again, we're talking about spirit. Is that okay? So you now say, okay, how is God? Me, I'm fat. This one is slim. So is God fat and slim at the same time? That's the outer compartment. So Bible is saying here, tell Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger so spirit still has finger. And cool my tongue. That means he has tongue. 25. But Abraham said unto him, son, remember. That means even when a man is dead and his body is buried, his spirit still can remember things. So memory is not affected. in God's own description, all because the brain was affected. Please understand that the brain is a physical part of the body, yes or no? But this guy doesn't have a brain. But Abraham still told him, remember. So I can remember. My spirit has a soul, a faculty that it can recollect things. All right, so it says, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. So please note here is unlikely alluding to the fact that poverty is evil. The guy had evil things happen to him. But now he's comforted, you are tormented. Please also you need to notice that the rich man is not in hell because he's rich. Because Abraham that owned or the place was named after was very rich. So it's not prosperity that took the man to hell. All right, it's all about righteousness and unrighteousness. So man is three parts, spirit, soul, and body. All right? But then again, we said that there are three forms or kinds of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll spend a bit of time there, and I'll move to the next one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, three kinds of man. Please notice the first, I said three parts of man. One man, three parts. He has spirit, soul, body. These three make up the man. These three, spirit, soul, body, make up the man. But there are now three kinds of men, if we could say that. Are you ready? So, 1 Corinthians 2 and then the 14th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It mentions one type of man here. What does it say here? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually what? Discerned. So he said there's a natural man. He receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. He can't receive them because they are spiritually discerned. Next verse, 15. But he that is what? Spiritual. So there's a natural man and then there's what? Spiritual man. He that is spiritual judges how many things? This verse is interesting. Yet he himself is what? NLT. Let me help somebody. Can we do NLT? But you might need to read this on your own. Quite interesting. For what? See this. What does he say? Those that are spiritual can do what? Evaluate how many things? But they themselves cannot be what? That means natural people cannot understand spiritual people. Natural people cannot understand spiritual language. No matter how you say it, it's too high for them. It's esoteric. They can't get it. But it says the guy that is spiritual can judge all things. Please understand that. The one who is spiritual is mature enough to judge. Spiritually discern. The word judge there means to discern. You can discern things. You can discern. If you and I, and that's why I said we treat this thing like it's foundation class, leave it alone. No, it's even for those of us that have been in ministry for quite some years, you know, by privilege, this is needed. This remembrance. How does a believer get into a wrong business deal? He that is spiritual does what? Judge or evaluate, or I just give you another word. Discern all things. That means the person did not discern. So the spiritual is discerning. You discern all things. Someone shakes your hand for the first time, you can discern. Ah, wrong guy. Get away from him. But rather than discern, we go natural. We look at, oh, but he sounds nice. He looks gentle. He can't hurt a fly. And then you do that till, the guy just disappointed me. Why? Because you were not discerning. You're walking by sight. So it says the natural man, spiritual man, chapter 3 from verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. We could go back to King James, New King James. All right, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to who? Please notice this. And I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as the carnal, as to babes wear. Please, like I said, babes doesn't mean fine girl wearing heels or face cap. Babe means what? Baby, baby. All right. So it says, I couldn't speak to you as to who? As to spiritual people, but as to carnal. So he has a third category. So we have the natural man, then we have the spiritual man, and now we're told about the carnal, all right? As babes in Christ. Next verse. He says, I fed you with what? Milk. Okay, the verse seems bigger than my screen here. But anyway. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to bear it. Even now you are still not what? Able. Verse 3. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, division among you, are you not what? Carnal and behaving like? Please stay focused. All right. So it says, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So that means a believer is not a. Please get that. If you remove mere, mere is in italics. So are you not carnal and behaving like men? All right. The word like there is simile. If I say you are acting like a lion, doesn't make you a lion, right? All right. It just means you act like. All right. So it says, are you not carnal and behaving like men? So when a believer leaves his realm of spiritual state, all right, and is becoming, so carnal means to be full of the flesh. Or let me make it simpler, when your body rules you. Get this. This is useful. Foundational, but it's foundation. Carnal is when your body rules you, when your flesh rules you, when your flesh tells you what to do. How many of you feel like praying every time? The answer might be not everybody. All right? Why? Because your flesh doesn't like it. One of you can watch a movie for 5 hours. The flesh likes it. So you find out when you yield more to the dictates of your flesh, what's the word there? Your carnal. You're becoming, your flesh leads you, dictates, tells you what to do. That's why you can have a church with 5,000 members and more than half of them will be carnal. What chooses what you watch on TV? What's your favorite TV program? What's your favorite TV series? Is it spiritual? Does it make you want to pray when you're done? Is it entertaining to your soul and your body? If the answer is yes, then that means you feed yourself with high-level carnality. It means you're just being a baby. And it happens. Listen, even when you've been in ministry for a while, you could allow yourself slip back in one area or two or three, and then you wake yourself up and say no. Because any level of carnality opens the door to something you don't want. And if you enjoy too much carnality, then you stop yourself from growing the way you should. Three types of man again. Number one, natural man. A natural man is not born again at all. Is that all right? All right? Then the carnal man is a guy that is born again, but he's still a baby. Say baby. Say well. Baby. Not babe. Not the way you call your husband or wife. Oh, baby. This one is what? Infant. Baby. Now, your age, let me use the word age now, in the things of the spirit is not connected to your physical age. So it might be 25, 45, 32. So you come to church and then you just feel, oh, this church is even filled with small, small children. Whoever even starts by talking like that is already a child. You didn't hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Whoever talks like that is a child. Because age in the spirit is not physical. So you might be a 30-year-old person. As in you've even been... Okay. So your physical age is not connected to your spiritual age, number one. Number two, your spiritual growth is not connected to how long you have been born again. So someone might have been born again for 55 years and is still B-A-B-Y. You got to get this. You know, because we have this, I've been here for long, they met me in church, blah, 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 blah. Praise God for that. But you might not be growing. Hebrews and the chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. So when you come to church, question is, why do you come to church? Somebody forced you or you just came? Hebrews 5 and verse 12. I remember early days of church when I would like to encourage people to spend more time, you know, let's do more of slow beat, what we call worship song. Let's just do that. And people will not like it. They'll say, Pastor, di-di-da, and na-da-da, you know. And I know some left because of that. But like, you want to dance. Everybody likes dancing. I'm sure if we start now, this is a scatter. But I'm taking you somewhere. And that's where you need to get to. Let me read this and we'll get there. Let's start. For though by the time you ought to be what? Teachers. This is Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to do what? Teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need what? Come on, somebody. Please read. You've come to need what? Milk and not what? Remember what he told them in 1 Corinthians 3? He said, I could not feed you like spiritual but carnal. I had to give you milk. He said, by now you should be teachers. I mean, sister, by now you've been in church how long? Brother, by now you've been in church how long? It's not who got to church first. Some people have been in church 15 years and they are still in spiritual nappy. Spiritual pampas, the same thing that hurt them 15 years ago, still hurts them now. Grow out of it. You got to grow. The same habits and attitude back then is still the same now. You got to grow. All right? Don't forget what we looked at last week, Sunday. All right, we're perfecting the saints. It means saints are not perfect, but saints should be perfected. So the more you come to hear the word, what's happening? You're being perfected. You are growing. But your spirit man is perfect. But there's a rishi-rishi in your head. Yeah? Have you ever seen someone angry from a person say, I will drop Christianity for the next 2 minutes. I will finish you and I'll put on my Christianity. You can't drop it. Why are you finishing the person? You're still a Christian. So for though by the time you ought to be teachers, so he's talking to people that are not children. Anybody notice that? They've been around for a while, but their attitude and action doesn't show. You ought to be teachers. He says, but you need someone to still teach you again the first principles of oracles of God. You have need of milk, not solid food. Next verse, please. For everyone who partakes only of what? Milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. See that word again. Baby. Next verse, please. But solid food belongs to those that are what? Of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to do what? Discern both good and evil. The same word discern is what you find in that he that is spiritual would discern. Because the person is exercising himself. Tell anybody, it's time to grow. Please let me tell someone beside you, it's time to grow. Tell a person, we came here to grow. So, you know, I was saying that when church began back then, and then I would tell folk, I said, so most of you go to churches and there were a lot of vigils raining back then in Jebu. I think they still do. Maybe I'm not current. I wasn't more current then anyway, but I'll hear, Pastor, I'm going to this church. They invited me for vigil. So what did you do when you got there? You know, I didn't even ask. There was this case, I remember. Yeah. Someone came back and said, Pastor, you know what you were saying is true. I said, what happened? He said, we danced and danced and danced and danced and danced and danced and danced. Ah, you were sweet. He said, but when the message started, we slept, eh? He said, but when the message finished, they called the choir up again and we started dancing. And I said, what did you go to church to do? Dance. Then we like to quote, but Pastor David danced with all of his might. If you dance the way David danced, we'll be doing fast beat in church every Sunday. I will allow it. Do you know how David danced? So let's assume he's a 21st century lady. He danced till his wig fell off. And he kept on dancing. He danced till his eyelashes fell out. Please hear me. And he kept on dancing. Danced till his heels broke. Threw shoe away. That was how David danced. He danced that his robe fell. You know the story. And his wife said, ha. Ah. See embarrassment. She said, lie, lie. I'm dancing to the person that removed your father and put me there. That's God. So that's the David dance. And David was not a recreated human spirit. Wasn't born again. But he did what even many believers today won't do. When we hear bang, 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 bang in church, what do we do? Start looking at your neighbor. You're not dancing to the Lord. You're dancing to your friend. Yes or no? So when we do fast beat in church, listen, there are three compartments in a man. Spirit, soul, body. So let's use it as the temple, the outer court, inner court, the holy of holies. When you do body, 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 where are you still standing? And then you're making noise. You're looking at her. Phone is ringing. You're laughing at someone. So all you came to do in church, you never connected. You stayed outside. You were in the building. You were in the church. You sat on the chair, but you were outside. Your body. Then you enter soul a bit. You heard a bit of what was still said. Inner court. But the depth of worship is inside the holy place. That's why you find that when we now switch and start singing slow song, what we call worship, people start crying. They start lifting up their hands. What's happening? They are beginning to connect. But the same person is mad at you for not allowing them to dance in church. Question, did you come to shake body that you could do in your room by yourself? Or you came here to train yourself spiritually so that when you're on your own, you can switch into spiritual things? Church is a training house. So when you come on Sunday, it's not who came to dress well. We've been here 8 a.m. We prayed for 45 minutes. And we didn't pray for church. So next Sunday, if you want to pray, come 8 a.m. to 8:45. We're praying for ourselves. Because this year is ending well. Amen. The Bible says the path of a just day, shining light, it shines brighter and brighter onto a perfect day. So we are kicking it till the year is over. Yes, sir. We're firing all through. Every word God spoke must come to pass. Every word. And I mentioned this morning, I said, listen, Jairus met with Jesus and said, my daughter is sick at home. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed. So Jesus said, no problem, let us go. The woman with the issue of blood got healed on their way to Jairus' house. Then she shares her testimony. When she was done, people came from Jairus' house and said, trouble not the master anymore. Your daughter is no longer sick. She's now dead. That means the story has moved from bad to worse. Jesus now said, Jairus, make her the go house. Is that what he said? No. He said, what you said to me in the beginning. And I said, I am following you. I am still following you. The story changes doesn't mean Jesus changes. Are you hearing that? So Jesus had to tell Jairus, be not afraid. Only believe. Me, I'm still Kankwe. Are we still going to your house? Yes, boss. Let's go. So when God spoke to you in January, you didn't know there was COVID coming. COVID now came. How does it change what God told you? So it moved from bad to worse, okay? Heaven and earth will pass away. But one word from God will never go unfulfilled. Your year is still going to be good. Your year is still going to end well. Everything God told you will still come to pass. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every single thing God told you. And that's why we're praying. On Wednesday, we'll pray 30 minutes, 5:30 to 6. Sunday, we'll pray 45 minutes. We're not praying church prayer. Not one single prayer point is for church. So I'd rather, which is the will of God, not even mine, that all of us, all right, spend less time in the outer court and most of our time in the Holy of Holies. That's me using the temple now to illustrate. Spend time. I know worship music could sometimes be so slow. It doesn't, no beat, no feel, no, ah. You now stay there for a while and be, ah. I understand you. But if you want to do fast, we've done that here too a few times. Can you dance shutting your eyes? Disconnect from everybody around you and dance. I have a friend, when he enters any church, in his own church, they already know him. So if you invite him to your church, he will stay in one corner at the back. Why? He doesn't like anybody disturbing him when he's praising God. This guy as at that time, was a bank executive. If you see him in church, you think he's a gate man. Bank executive. When you see him in church, you think he's a gate man. He will scatter floor. He's not trying to be where people can see him. He will take one corner. In his own church, the ushers already know, brother, so and so. When we start praise, that's that corner. But he's shot. He knows the God that picked him from no house and took him to where he is today. He knows that person. He knows I cannot mess up my time praising him. But we are too conscious of people, of the beat. When they stop songs, say, you're already looking at choir. Lucy, Lulu, yeah, Lulu. You know, and like that. Church is a training house. There are times when they give you bad report and God will say, praise me. I'm serious. There are times when you even hear God say, praise me. You will know that praise is a weapon right now. Let me go and lock myself up and start dancing. There will be no beat though. So what we do here is training. When they give you a report that is bad and you put it on the phone and say, God, yo, I'm going to dance on top of this paper. And it's going to change. These spiritual things. That's what we learn in church. So it's not just, you know, come and, no. So Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so I cannot do the things you want to do. NLT, please. Let me just help someone with that simpler communication. All right. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature wants. These two forces are what? Constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intention. So he's saying there's a battle going on. Now, he uses the word spiritual nature, sinful nature, so I might not use that. Because someone else will now think, oh, that means I have a sinful nature. No, you don't have a sinful nature, though you have a flesh that needs to be dealt with. But let's be pushing gradually. You get this. So, like I said earlier, when you turn on the TV, what interests you more? Are they spiritual things or carnal things? If they are more of carnal things, then... Amber, some weeks ago when we were still doing the recordings and all of that, and I had to talk about Big Brother. I know some church members were not like that. I touched that topic. But it's amazing how the church, because I'm sure most people watching are believers, how we can be funding carnality to be aired. Except we don't agree that that's carnality. All right, people already have sexual troubles in private. It's trouble when you bring it in public. And then you are being told or encouraged to be very carnal on screen. And then cameras are capturing and everyone wants to see. And then we discuss. And then sometimes you have to vote to keep your carnal person still in the house. Because of, at the end of the day, are you being spiritual Or are you being carnal? Would the Holy Ghost sit beside you and say, oh yeah, Holy Spirit, let's vote? Who are we voting for, Holy Spirit? You know the answer to the question. The Holy Ghost says, shut that thing down. You don't even know how many brothers go to masturbate when they finish. There's no child here, please. When they finish watching that. You don't know how it affects people's psyche. You don't know. You don't want to know. When you open up to spiritual things, you rise to this level of spiritual things. When you open up to carnal things, you hang around the level of carnal things. It's the information you get. So your flesh, your spirit, which one encourages you to do the things you want to keep doing? It's enough that you have battles on your own already. You're trying to put your flesh under. You're trying to shut down. You're trying to say, I want to be more in tune with the Holy Ghost. So now having to publicly open yourself to things, you don't need it. So the point is, let's grow. That's what we came here to do. And the way to grow, please understand this. Say spirit. Say soul. Say body. What did you notice is the order of arrangement. Who was mentioned first? After that, let me ask. Which one are we more aware of? Which one do we spend more money on? Which one do we listen to the most? So that tells you how we live. Canal. When your body says, I want to sleep. I want to break my fast. I'm angry. I want to slap. In whatever the body says most times, then who do we feed the most? Your spirit eats once a week, Sunday morning. So your spirit is lean. Kwashoko. Your body is Yokozuna. All right? All them Zumo wrestlers. That's your body because your body is fed. The one you feed gets stronger. When you feed your body, it gets stronger. Why do you think people are told to fast a lot? What happens to your body when you're fasting? It's weak. Then your spirit can now talk better. Your spirit can hear God better. Because the order is spirit, soul, body. But the way we live most times for most of us is body, soul, spirit. And for some, it's soul. They can read from now till Jesus comes. They won't even take care of their body. They won't brush their hair. They might not brush their teeth. They might not take a bath in 5 days. You know people like that. It's work. It's wealth. It's soul. Person might be born again. But when last did you hear, this is what God is telling me. No, your soul is busy. To a point where you analytically scrutinize even what God is telling you. Your soul is more educated to the detriment of your spiritual growth. So for many, spirit is number one. Soul, then body. For a lot too, soul. And see how much money is spent on beauty care. Face and hand and leg and adjustment of body parts. See how much we spend on education. Professional courses. How much we spend everywhere. Gyms are making money. Spas are making money. So the body and the spirit, and the soul, they receive a huge amount of annual investment from people that are born again, and then we wonder why the spirit is not growing. It's not rocket science. The one that is not fed cannot grow. When you open your laptop, what are you doing? You're browsing. You want information. You want entertainment. Those two, very, very little is spiritual there. If we check half of our phones here, we find more phones of carnal things than we find phones of church songs. If we check what you play every day, it's more carnal music than spiritual. The one you feed will keep growing. That's why you could have a church of 10,000 people and more than half of them are carnal. So I'm saying, and like I say, it's not, it's directive teaching. It's, can we begin to grow? Can we all redefine why we come to church? Why we are in church? Can we redefine it? Can coming to church for you on Sunday and on Wednesday be like school, where you take notes, where you make up your mind, what I'm going to learn here, I will act on it. Please. Can we do that? So don't forget. Man has three parts. Number one, spirit. Number two, soul. Number three, body. Which one should be in charge? Which one should be in charge? So which one should we feed more? Which one should we give attention to more? So much to say about it. My time's up. We'll continue on Wednesday. And I've even spent more time on it than I planned to. All right. But hope you've learned. Everything you learn in this life is from your outer side. Even the experiments the scientists come up with is usually physical. They have to conduct. So that's why they say it's empirical. It's proven scientifically. You have to prove it scientifically. It's scientific. It has to be proven. But there's a third realm. It's called revelation knowledge. So I'll talk about that. That's a deep realm. And hear me. Even your big businessmen and politicians, they know there's that third realm. So when they look for power, they go to that third realm. There's a third realm. And the believer is in that third realm, seated together with Jesus in heavenly places. In that third realm. So your body might feel weak. Your mind might seem no. In the realm of spirit, you are elevated. You are seated with Jesus. You have authority. So no matter what's happening in your soul. Oh, dear Lord, so many things to say. But I hope you are getting it. We can take it slowly. Because, for instance, maybe I'll end on that one. No matter how influenced by a demon a Christian gets, the demon can never enter the spirit of that Christian. Did you get that? Never. The demon can influence the mind and stay in the body, but can't ever enter that place. Can't ever. Because the Holy Ghost stays there. All right? Because it's recreated with the life of God. So when you learn this, that seems foundational. You realize this will help me every day. When I'm carnal, what do I do? Renew my mind. Let me pause before I keep saying more and more things. But I hope it helped you. All right, so three kinds of man. Natural man. Carnal man. Okay. But let's put carnal in between. Natural man. Carnal man. Spiritual man. The natural man is not born again. The carnal man is what? Born again, but he's still baby. And that baby is not because you have been in church for 2 weeks. You could be in church for 30 years and you are still baby. And then there's a spiritual man. So our journey is spiritual growth and development. Is that all right? Praise God. I also wanted to say five things. I think it's five. Maybe I'll say it better next week, but I could just mention it as we close. But have you learned something now? Please get the teaching and let's keep going. We'll do more again on Wednesday. Five take homes. You know when I say take home? Five take homes from COVID-19. Five take homes from COVID-19. You want to write it down? Number one. I think it's taught us better to be more hygiene conscious. I guess. So, learn hygiene. Throw away the fear of COVID. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just learn hygiene. Ebola tried teaching us, we didn't get it. What do I mean? Just the simple wash your hand when you leave the restroom. So, not wash hand because you shook someone. Are you getting it? Just learn now to be what? Hygiene conscious. That's English, have you? Hygiene conscious. Learn hygiene. I think it's a take home. Just be more. When you finish, you know, from the mechanic's place, wash your hand before you take the bread and put inside beans and put your mouth. Just wash your hand. Right? It's just hygiene. I think it's a simple take home. Hygiene has nothing to do with fear. Just cleanliness. And we grew up being told that cleanliness is next to. Just hygiene. Just simple hygiene. I think it's a simple take home with no fear attached. Some of you, if COVID enters your room, COVID will run. I don't know if you got that joke. Yeah? The thing inside your room is more serious than COVID. COVID will say, my masters are here. Let me run back. If COVID, you open your cupboard. Go say, hey! Even me, I would die. The amount of anointing. All right, we know it's not the anointing, right? All right, so just learn hygiene. Is that okay? Just learn hygiene. It doesn't have to be out of anything. Second take home. Don't push your faith on anybody. All right? Don't push your faith on anyone. Every service, I always say, and most times I say, and I will keep saying, say hello to someone. All right? But you could gauge the person. Some people don't want to shake you. All right? So just, good morning. All I said was, greet. All right? And it's not church. It's you learning to relate with people. Is that okay? So you don't force your faith on them. You know? So maybe go to an office. No, if you don't shake me, I'll shake you by force. No. Person doesn't want it, so do what the person wants. I've been to offices in Lagos. I comply. That's how they operate. I've been to people's homes. I comply. That's how they function. You don't put your faith on someone. Also, number three, don't put your fear on someone. So the person might not be afraid of what you're afraid of, or might not react to the thing the way you do. So while don't put your faith on someone, don't put your fear on someone too. Don't exhibit the fear. You know, you could tell someone, oh, are you done with what you're doing? Oh, please wash your hands. It's simple enough. You don't have to say, no, go and wash your hands. Don't do it. Something can happen to you. Then you're not just communicating hygiene and caution, you're communicating fear. Who is getting the difference, please? So there's a meeting point. I think that'll be in point four. Point four, please be sincere to know exactly where your faith is. Please know exactly where your faith is. Wearing of fake smacks might for some people not mean a lack of faith. I'll repeat myself. Wearing of fake smacks for some people might not mean a lack of faith. Yes, it might mean for some, but for some it might not. Just they feel, well, let me comply, me farewell. On the other hand, also, not wearing of face masks for some people might not mean faith. Who's hearing my English? Wearing of face masks for some might not mean a lack of faith. And not wearing of face masks for some others has nothing to do with faith. It might just be bandwagon effect. If I go to where they are wearing, I wear. If I go to where they are not wearing, I don't wear. So I just flow with the water. All right? That's different from understanding. I'm just saying blend. No particular. How many of you flee to your rooms? Most of us. But you know you could flee to your room because you're afraid of malaria. But you could also flee to your room because you just don't like the noise of mosquito. There's a difference. Who understands the difference? You know, if they bite you, they can't harm you. But you just don't like that. Now, a higher faith exercise can neutralize all of that sound. And tell mosquito, don't come to my house, and they won't come. It's possible. The more you expose yourself to these thoughts, you see the possibility. But it's possible, all right? But God didn't create them to give you malaria in Genesis chapter 1. It's an effect of Adam's fall. And Christ has rewritten all of that story. So you can take your faith back there. But you know that most of you flee because you don't want malaria. This is where I'm going. Please hear me. This is where I'm going. Whatever caution you put in place might not... I've taken people to the hospital. I've spent the night with people in the hospital. I have. A few times. I mean, as a pastor, not even family member. I'm pastoring, and oh yeah, let us go hospital. We are sleeping there. I'm staying with you. I've done that. It means that you need to gauge people's level of faith, because some will tell you, "I don't need injection." You know, it is not their faith. It's that they are running away from that needle that is coming to touch them. They say, "Pastor, I'm okay. I'm okay. Pastor, check me. I'm okay. Doctor, tell pastor. I'll be pastor. Tell doctor. Doctor, pastor knows I'm okay." Me, I'm looking at you. I know you are not okay. Doctor, how many injections does this person need? 5. Please, let's start. Because if you stay longer, I will teach you better. Who got what I said? If you're in a better state of mind and health, I can grow you better. Are you getting that? I'm saying this because COVID is not the biggest pandemic or sickness, rather, anybody will face. Every day, people are having issues. I believe that the church still needs to grow on defining your relationship with sickness and disease. People haven't defined it yet. I would love to explain this point further, but I need to close. Let me mention point 5. 4 is be sincere with where your faith is. 5, grow your faith. If when COVID started, you said, we don't know where everybody's faith is. We don't know. Now it is how many months after? You are still singing the same. We don't know where everybody. Then what happened to their faith from that time till now? I'm not saying that to condemn. I'm saying wherever it is, can we now all start growing it? Because for someone, it will be ovarian cysts. For someone else, it might be tumor. For someone else, it might be cancer. For someone else, it will be diabetes. For another person, it will be hepatitis B. These things are real. People are going to hospitals and the doctors are reading these things out as results of tests. It's not fake. Are you getting me? These things, so it's not COVID that... COVID is not the biggest. There are places in Nigeria that COVID did not really disturb anybody. Even in Jebu here, we're not like, we say, it has spiked up, it has come down. Well, okay. God, thank God. But I'm saying that's not your own issue. Even if you're in Lagos, I was in Lagos. Listen, I personally know people that were affected by this thing and hospitalized. And I know a case that morning, night, we're talking war together till everything was reading negative. All right? Every case I know came out well. Illustration. Hope you don't mind. Let me borrow you, sir, for an illustration. So let's assume, stay there, please, sir. You want to enter here and the pass, gate pass is 50K. Then you heard that someone has paid the 50K for you. But I am the bouncer. So you're trying to pass and I say, bro, 50K. What will you do? You know someone has paid. And I'm saying, lie, I'm the bouncer. You can't enter. Are you sure you use stronger? I'm very big. Don't look at this, my stature. Look at me very well. I'm the bouncer. At times like 3. Give me all the things I don't have right now. Just dash me in your mind. I'm the bouncer. You will still try. Are you sure? Are you sure? Knowing that the money has been paid, you will still do everything you can. What if your friend says, oh boy, 50K, just drop. Now we could go. You feel cheated. Someone has paid. Someone has paid. Someone paid for your redemption. Someone paid for your health. Someone paid for your healing. Thank you, sir. So when the devil makes you pay again, he's cheating you. Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law. All right? I've taught you more than that, but I can explain that way. He took your infirmities, carried away your sicknesses. Someone now says, no, you will suffer sickness a second time. Say, no. Someone suffered it for me. He hung on the cross. They pierced his hands, his leg, his side. He bled. I can't suffer what he suffered. That's agidi you will use for bouncer. Use it for Satan. Use it for sickness. Use it for disease. Use it for symptoms. Are you getting this? That's where our faith will grow, because the just shall live how? By faith. I might not be able to impose my faith on him, but I can walk on my own faith. He can work on his own faith. I might not be able to impose my faith on him, but I can encourage his faith. Are you getting this? Let's be a people of faith that we are. Is that okay? Faith has different levels of corresponding action. A believer can make up his or her mind, I will do operation. That might be where the person's faith is. Agree with the person and say, you will have successful operation. Most one thing is for you to be okay. Who's getting me now? I'm saying that so you know how to relate with people. All right, so you don't make people uncomfortable while we're all trying to climb the same kite. Is my English clear? It's clear. Very clear. Is it clear? Eh? We're people of faith. Grow your faith. Don't let the devil cheat you. Encourage the other person's faith. All right? But sometimes you can't gauge faith with how people look. All right? Praise God. It's clear, are we? Praise God. Ah! Please borrow me a few more minutes. Sickness will die. Hope you heard my Yoruba. That guy is bad. Sickness came from the devil, right? The devil doesn't like you. I preached for someone in Unilag many years ago. That day I said, "Ha, devil. Find babes." As in chick. Find Unilag girls. They gave a call. If I hear you're sick in your body. Mistake. We started asking them, "What's wrong with you?" I was hearing names of sicknesses never heard before. You know, you have to stand back and say, fine girl like this. The devil hates people. It's not fine, it's not rich, it's not poor. It just dashes people with this thing to finish their lives. It comes to steal, kill. So it's not how well you can prevent that stops the devil. Someone is in one village, he still had COVID in village. Who traveled into Nigeria to enter the village to give the person COVID? You think the devil watches all your boundaries and border protection? It's the devil. He's a prince of the power of the air. So how do you stop him? Your shield of faith. Your shield of faith. Are you getting this? Because this whole thing is almost gone. It's blowing off. But those everyday sicknesses are still hanging around. You do insurance one day, they will say, go and run medical tests in the hospital. The doctor tells you one funny name. If you have to lock yourself up for 3 weeks or 1 week or 3 days and say, I'm going to kill this thing, it won't kill me. The just shall live how? I've used my extra time. I'll see you guys on Wednesday. So don't forget, the man is how many parts? Spirit, soul, and what? All right. And then there are three types of man. One. Two, three, which one you be? You know it's not by mouth, Tavi. All right, so during the week, make up your mind to be what? So there'll be a fight. Who is fighting who? Your flesh will fight your spirit will fight your flesh. Do your best. How do we do it? We'll learn that better. It's a series, we'll just build it slowly. I have a lot I'd love to teach, but let's do this one. It will help us. So when you say, I'm already angry, be angry, but you understand? You're already saying three things, five things. Brother, spiritual man. How many of you find it difficult to say sorry? You know, the Bible says, when someone offends you, say sorry. When you offend someone, say sorry. Major G, say sorry. So I think if we don't like saying sorry, we should not be entering that place. Because once you enter, oh Lord, I'm saying sorry again. I don't like saying sorry. Then stop liking to enter that place. Once you enter that zone of that anger, it's turning to Shango. You'll come and say sorry. So if you don't like the sorry, don't enter Shango. So we can grow. Is that all right? When you're flipping the channels and flipping, I now see the way they are shaking it and shaking. A lady can watch a lady shake and she's just saying, I see her nice strap. And they were okay, Jen Laura Rare. You know, that's what she's seeing. A brother might not be seeing the same thing. Hello, brother. A brother might not be seeing the same thing a sister is seeing. All right, so you're now leaving it there. Ah, it's not the song you're hearing again, no? They finish the video like, Oti Tony, you should start again. You also say, brother, Oti Kana, brother, move away from here. Do you understand that? Because evil communication. This is all scripture, guys. Thank you. See you later. Bye-bye.
Hallelujah.